Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, let's read Psalm 96, verses 1 to 9, and it reads, "O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth."
Thank you, Helen. Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the start of 2024. Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful for 2023. But as we take this time to pause and stop and prepare to hear from you this morning, Lord God, we welcome your Holy Spirit and we ask that your word would speak to each and every one of us this morning. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for 2024. And so, Lord, as you speak this morning, as you will have your way in each and every one of us, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are starting our new year as a global movement, okay, with all our churches right across the world. And we've got churches like in Europe, in the Pacific, in Asia, in America. It's exciting. And so we're all doing this series together. And part of this series is that we're also going to be praying and fasting together. And so that all kicks off tomorrow. The Set Apart series is this year we're going to be focusing on being set apart, what it looks like to be set apart for God's glory, for God's will. And so, I'm excited. I hope you're excited as well. And so the title of my message today is God is Holy. God is Holy. And so in this series, we are going to be looking at what it means to be set apart. And specifically, we're going to be looking at holiness from a biblical point of view. Because in the society that we live in, I think sometimes we can have a watered-down view of what holiness is. You know, or maybe we have a different understanding of what holiness is compared to what the Bible may say about this. And so what is holiness? What is holiness? So like any good person, you know, I Googled this. And this is what Google told me, right? I Googled this, and this was the number one spot on the Google search, and it belonged to the definition of the dictionary definition of holiness. And it says this, that it's the state of being holy, a life of holiness and devotion to God. And yes, that is partly right. And for some people, holiness is normally connected to being morally good, a morally good person, like doing good things, right? Saying the right things. But yes, that is partly right too. But in the Bible, the idea of holiness is much bigger. It's much deeper than that. And so I like how the Bible Project guys put it, right? They say that what holiness is really describing is that God is the creative force behind all of creation. He is the creative force behind all of creation. And so he's the only one with the power to make, to create, to form this world that we live in, the beauty and the life in it. And it's only God that has this ability to do this. So this sets him apart. This is the unique thing about God, is that he creates. He is set apart above anything else and everything else to do this thing. So let me give you a metaphor to help you with this, okay? If you think of the sun, okay, if you think of the sun, right, the sun that bathes on our beautiful city of Logan here, right? It's beautiful. It's lovely, right? Well, you think of the sun is unique. It's unique to our solar system. It's powerful, and it's a source of life for everything on this planet. It gives life to stuff. And so you could say that the sun is holy. And you could take it even further to say that, you know, the area around the sun, you know, as you get closer to the sun, that is holy. Because the closer you get to the sun, the more intense it becomes, right? When you think about that. And so that very power, that very source of life can be a very dangerous thing as well. So in the same way, God is holy. God is holy. And so if we are impure, if we have sin in our lives, then we cannot enter into that holiness of God. Because it is dangerous for us. And it's not because it's a bad dangerous, but it's because it's so good. God's holiness is so good that we cannot get, if we have sin in our lives, we cannot get close into God's holiness. And so we're seeing here in Psalm 96, in this song that celebrates God as the ruler and creator of everything. And it talks about how God is in charge, that he made everything and how he saved his people. The psalmist is encouraging not just the Israelites, not just the chosen people or a region, but he's encouraging everybody, everyone, to come and worship God. This is an open invitation for everyone to recognize and praise God together. The psalm also paints a picture of God's majestic holiness by using multiple descriptive words, right? And so the first one is, he is glorious. Everyone say, he is glorious. And so in verses 3 and 7 to 8 that Helen read from, declare his glory among the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So there's a sense of this universal proclamation, right? Indicating that God's glory is not limited. It's not limited to one people or a region, but it's for the nations. It's for everyone. So the purpose is to share this awe-inspiring greatness of God with the entire world, to share it with the people that we walk alongside with each and every day of our lives. It's to help people encounter God and recognize and appreciate God's glorious attributes. Number two, he is great. In verse 4, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For great is the Lord. So this is speaking of like God's vastness, God's superiority, God's greatness, right? It speaks of his boundless power, his authority, his wisdom that sets him apart from anything else, from any other deity or supernatural being or even a force. Only God has this. So God alone is worthy of all praise and reverence, because he is the supreme and unparalleled one in all of the universe. There is no one like him. This verse is not only underscoring the magnitude of God's greatness, but it's also emphasizing the response it deserves from us, from humanity. And that is one of great praise and great honor to him. Number three, he is the creator. In verse 5, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord made the heavens. And so we need to understand the reason for this praise that this psalm evokes is for the identifying or the singling out of God as the one true God. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He created heaven and earth, the maker of everything. So for context, this psalm was written in a time where there were many different gods. Every nation had their own gods, right? And they claimed them to be the most powerful gods, every nation. And so, for example, the Babylonians, their chief deity was this god called Marduk. And so they declared him as the one who created the earth and ruled over it. But here in this verse, Marduk and the other gods, they're called these worthless idols, right? Worthless idols. They're like these images portraying these entities, but that was it. That was the full extent of their existence. They just existed. They're just images of it. They didn't do anything else. They were just there because people put them on that pedestal. People made them say, I want to worship this God. But only God displayed true reality and power, making him the one and only one deserving of praise because he created the heavens and the earth. Only God. Number four, he is majestic. He is majestic. In verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. Before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When you think of splendor and majesty, these are like a picture of God's royal, magnificent, grand nature, right? This verse reveals a scene where God is surrounded by this aura of greatness and magnificence. You know, I sort of think of it as like, you know, who's seen The Last Dragon? Anyone seen The Last Dragon? Remember The Last Dragon? You remember Leroy Brown when he got the glow? Right? He was like, whoa. He was like glowing. He was glowing. There was this aura about him. You got to watch The Last Dragon, okay? We educated my kids over the holidays by getting them to watch The Last Dragon, okay? It's such an important part of their education, right? But think of this. If we can think of the most beautiful thing that we've ever seen in our life, and then multiply that by, say, 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, that could be a starting point of the splendor and majesty of God that has been spoken of here. These words, splendor and majesty, they're often used together when describing the highest qualities of God. But we also see Solomon being blessed with a similar description in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 25. And it says, and the Lord made Solomon very great in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. And so God had blessed Solomon with royal majesty. He had blessed him like no other king before him. God had dropped this onto Solomon. So if we see all this and we understand all of God, the splendor, the majesty of God, the holiness of God, then how then should we respond to God's holiness? How should we bring ourselves before our Creator? How should we bring ourselves before our King, before the glorious one, before the great one? How do we respond to God's holiness? We respond to God's holiness in song, in declaration, and ascribing. That's what the psalm speaks of, right? If we look in the first one, in song, right? In verses 1 to 2, it talks about singing, right? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Now this morning we've been singing. We've been singing about God. And it's not about always singing in tune, although that would be nice in public. But it's about your heart, your worship, your thanks, your words towards God. That's all he's worried about. He doesn't care if you've got the worst voice in the world, like me. It doesn't matter. As long as you're giving him the words, if you're giving him that adoration, that worship through your words, right? Your words. I ran out of breath. Okay? But, so if we see this, we understand this about our God. Singing. So singing was usually in response to when God did something. Where God's handiwork was evident. When you see God do something. And we see examples of this throughout the Bible. And in Exodus 15, right? Where this is just after the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, right? God had led them through the Red Sea. And he had destroyed the Egyptians that were pursuing them. Moses and the people, they sang the song of praise to God for delivering them, singing unto God. Now the words of sing to the Lord a new song. This isn't just about singing the latest, you know, or the greatest praise and worship song, right? This is more about our hearts, the condition of our hearts. It's about singing of a recent encounter. What is something good that God has done in your life? Today, or maybe he did something really cool yesterday. Have you sung to God and said, God, thank you for this. Thank you for my job. Thank you for this new opportunity that you have given me, God. It's about this heart, our hearts bursting forth in this gratitude, in this thanks towards who God is and what he is doing in our lives. It's a heart of joy. It's a heart of gratitude. It's this deep sense of connection and adoration towards God, our Father. And so the question for us this morning is this. What song am I singing? What song are we regularly singing? And let me tell you, it might be real easy right now because we're at the beginning of the year. You know, everyone's like, praise the Lord. It is good. Life's good because it's the beginning of the year. But what will you be singing when challenges come? What will you be singing when a situation happens and, you know, you didn't see it, you never thought it would happen, right? What will you be singing when your car breaks down and it's pouring down with rain? We think, oh my gosh, where is my husband, right? What will you be singing when those challenges come? Are we singing of complaining? Complaining about our spouse? Why are they not doing this? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't she listening to me? Are we complaining about our kids? Are we complaining about the things at work? Are we complaining about our neighbors? Oh, they're so rowdy. They're so noisy, those neighbors. Is more of our singing to do with complaining? Or are we singing for the lack of something? Are we singing a song of a lack of finances? I don't have enough. I don't have enough food. I don't have enough clothes. I don't have enough resources. And you feel like you never have enough. Is your singing filled with discontent? There's so many negative things that we could be singing about. But what if we chose to sing about God's abundant blessings and the very life and health that we have all received this morning? You know, the fact that we're able to open our eyes this morning, get up out of bed, walk to the bathroom, wash our face. Hopefully everyone washed their face and brushed your teeth this morning. You know, these things that we can sometimes take as like, you know, just automatic. We don't even reckon, we're not aware of them anymore. But that's something that God has blessed us with. God has given life to us. How many of us took time to sing about the beauty and nature of creation all around us? We live in this beautiful state, right? The sun shines, it's warm, sometimes crazy hot. But we see the beautiful trees, the parks, the beaches, all this beauty around us, have we taken time to thank God for those things? How many of us took time to sing about the beauty and nature of God that we get to enjoy? What about the guidance and wisdom of God? How many of us thank God this morning for His purpose and His plan for our life? How many of us thank God for His forgiveness and His redemptive plan? How many of us thank God for His faith and spiritual growth that He has placed us in, that we're on this journey towards knowing Him deeper and in a greater way this year? How many of us thank God for the community that we're a part of? What daily song are we singing? Is it a new song to the Lord? Is it a song to bless His name? Or is it a song of complaint? Is it a song of discontent? Is it a song of not enough? But this isn't to say that we can't come to God with our burdens, our the things that we're struggling with. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we can definitely bring those things to God. But we first have to recognize what God has already given us, right? Are you aware of what God has already given you? The very life that you're breathing, the energy that you have, the roof over your head, the food that He gives to you every single day. Do we recognize this? Do we forget about these very basic things that we just go through life as you know, on autopilot, and we're like, oh yeah, it's there. But God gave us those things. Do we appreciate God? Do we acknowledge God in that way, that we see and are aware of Him working in our lives, every single moment of our lives? Have we recognized what God has already given us, what God has already done for us? One thing that I'm going to do different this year is I'm going to utilize the YouVersion app, right? Who knows the YouVersion app, right? The Holy Bible one, yes. Who has it on their phone? And if you go to open it up, it says, "Do you want to install it again?" You know, it's lost. It's been lost since you haven't accessed it in like years, right? But it's there, right? The YouVersion app. It's a cool app, okay? And so, you know, each morning I'm making this. I just started this just this year, okay? So I'm like 8 days into it, mate, and I've got 8 ticks on it. Yeah. And so each morning as part of my time, I start the day with, you know, reading the verse of the day. And it has like a little devotion as well, you know, a little part of reflection. And you can also lead you through a time of prayer. So it helps you to sort of focus in on what you're praying for. What is it that God may be speaking through you for that day in regards to that verse? And it's really, for me, it's like 10 to 15 minutes of my day that I'm like, this is a way that I'm going to be singing to God. This is a way that I want to honor God in this year, in my life. And hopefully He'll change me. His word will change me from the inside out. Number two, declare. Everyone say declare. In verses 2-3, it says, "Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." And so to declare something is to proclaim it, is to make it known, to announce it to the world, right? To tell people about it. And so the psalmist is calling us to make known the glorious nature and character of God. Tell the world about this. And sometimes we can just get so focused on just telling our family, telling our friends, telling the people we like. But this has a missional aspect to it. It's to declare it to the nations. The nations aren't just our family. The nations aren't just the people we like. The nations are all the people around us. Even the people that rub us the wrong way, right? They are part of the nations. And so who are you missionally declaring the glory of God to? Who are you going to be missional about declaring the glory of God to? Who are you going to be intentionally building a relationship with this year to share the good news of the gospel with? And if I was to challenge all of us in here to just focus on one person this year, if each and every one of us were just to focus on one person this year to build with them and grow with them, this place would be too small. This place will be maxed out in just 1 year. Seriously. Think about that. If you were just to spend a moment, a time, allocate a, you know, pray about someone that needs to know Jesus, and you spend that time with them, walking with them, being with them, praying with them, helping them on this journey, you are missionally declaring the glory of God. Number three, ascribe. I want to say ascribe. Verses 7 to 8, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. We see ascribe being repeated like three times there, right? And this is very similar to how we saw in sing in the first verses. In the first couple of verses, sing is repeated three times as well. But here, it's given this new development. This new thing happens, right? And the psalmist takes a step further and calls the people to ascribe. To ascribe is to attribute, to give credit to, right? And so this is to give credit to God. To give credit to God for the glory that is due to Him, right? The glory that is due to Him. You know, you think of, I don't know, this just come to my mind right now. You know, you heard the term of, you give people their flowers now, right? That's the same sort of term, right? Give people their flowers. Give them their props. Give them their, you know, encourage them. Who are the people around you that you're honoring, you're, you know, that you're encouraging with, right? Who are the people that you're giving flowers to right now? Right? Because it can be a bit too late if we wait for them to be dead and then we try and give them the flowers in because they ain't hearing it. But if we have them here with us right now, our parents, our children, are we giving them flowers? Are we giving them the props, the gratitude and thankfulness of what they have done, how they may have impacted your life? Ascribe is to give. To give. Give to God the glory that He deserves. Give honor to His name. To give God the recognition of His greatness, His majesty, His authority, and strength. Think about this. Our heart is transformed as we look upon the beauty and splendor of God's holiness. As we encounter His majestic holiness and reflect on what He has done to save us, our hearts should burst into a new song. If we understand, if we get what God has done for us, then it should just naturally flow out of us. Singing to God, giving thanks to God, giving adoration to God.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.